The Asian Classics Institute presents Lojong, Developing the Good Heart, with Geshe Michael Roach, recorded live in New York City in June of 1998. This is the beginning of Class 2.
We've been studying Lojong Sikyama, which is Lojong, or Developing the Good Heart, in 8 verses, and we're halfway through. So last course you were doing about 15 pages of logic a night, and this course you're doing 16 lines a night, okay? And it's kind of cool, and I'm sure you appreciate it. So anyway, we'll go to the first verse. Okay, please repeat after me. Dagla, Shenki, Chadohi, Shekur, Laso, Mirikbe. Okay. I think this is maybe the hardest class I ever taught. Okay? This class tonight. Okay? Very difficult. And I'm not kidding. Okay? Like you guys have been through logic and you've been through Shantideva's, Master Shantideva's logic chapter and everything. I mean, wisdom chapter. And you've been through diamond cutter, deep stuff. I think this class is more difficult. I think this verses tonight are more difficult. And I think your mind, in the sense that your mind will not accept them. Your mind will try to fight what you're going to hear tonight. And it's what I'm planting in you tonight is a lot of grief for the immediate future, okay? It's very, very hard to live the kind of life that's being described in these verses, okay? And once you've heard it and heard it explained, you know that it's the right thing to do. So you're cursed from now on. You'll be this schizophrenic, you know. You will know what's the right thing to do, and your mind won't want to do it. And it's going to be, I mean, I had students break out in tears just spontaneously once in a while. They know this is the right thing to do. And it's very hard to do. And then they're just sitting there and they just burst out into tears, you know. I say, what's wrong? And they say, that's very hard to do. So you're going to hear it, sorry, you know. And then you can't forget it after tonight. Okay, this is the very essence of the Lojong. Okay, this is the sweetest part of the Lojong and the hardest part of the Lojong. Okay, so here we go. Dakla means to me. Okay, Dak means me and Dagla means to me. Shenki means by other people, okay? Other people to me, okay? Takdok means jealousy. Takdok means jealousy. Okay. Tato ki means out of jealousy.
Okay. Because of jealousy.
So the first line says, other people, because they're jealous, will do something to me. Okay. They will do something to me.
What?
Shekur. Shekur means to put somebody down, or to criticize somebody, or to speak badly of somebody. Okay. Say bad things about you, out of jealousy. Lasso means etc. And you know everything else. They cheat you, tell the boss bad things about you, all sorts of things. Everything you can imagine that somebody else could do to you out of jealousy. Okay? Say something to your friends that's not true. Say something to your wife or husband that's not true. Say something to... By the way, the Mirikpa means here, untrue, unfounded, unjustified, undeserved. Okay? Improper. Okay? Like they're saying something to other people about you that's not right. It's not true. It's not just. And they're doing it out of jealousy. Okay? So what are you supposed to do about it? If you're a great Kadampa Geshe, if you're a great Lojong practitioner, what are you supposed to do about it? Okay, somebody out of jealousy is trying to hurt you. Okay. And the next few minutes is the hardest thing to accept, okay? And it's true. And it's the key to happiness, all right? and remember, we studied Master Shantideva and we were in the patience chapter. And I remember preparing the readings. It was too much to teach in 1 year. So I was chopping out parts, you know. And that's really hard to go through Master Shantideva and decide what the people in New York won't hear. You know, and I was going through and I found this long section on the where did the world come from and is there a creator and was there a Big Bang and all this stuff. And I said, oh, this is really like 20 pages long. This is perfect to chop out. Because who wants to hear all this stuff, you know? And they won't even notice it's gone, you know? And then I started to read it, and it was really beautiful because the reason he was talking about the Creator and things like that, emptiness, was because he was trying to get you to figure out where all the bad things in your life come from. He was trying to get you to decide. You take one thing, like what? Like this one person who's jealous of you, and who's trying to hurt you behind your back or something. So like Master Shantideva is saying, you cannot practice patience. You cannot be a good Buddhist unless you analyze where this person came from. And then you can find out what's the right thing to do. Okay? Then based on wisdom of knowing where did this guy come from in the first place, you can decide what to do. And it's a very important distinction between what are they doing to you, or how are they doing it to you, and where did they come from in the first place? You see what I mean? Like you say, who's causing all this trouble in my life? Why is the boss getting down on me? You know, why is this person who used to be my friend, they don't trust me anymore? Someone's talking to them behind my back. Somebody's giving rumors to them, you know, somebody's lying to them because they're jealous of me, you know? And then you're like, oh, I figured it out, you know, it was so-and-so. Said this to them, and that's why they're being mad at me, and that's why they're saying bad things about me. I finally figured it out. You know, this is the way it's going. This person started it, you know. And then that's a wrong worldview, okay? Totally wrong. You're just describing how it happened and not why it happened. You see what I mean? And there's a big difference. You see, what makes cancer, says Master Shantideva? And we talked about it before. There's the chromosomes in your body, okay? Every cell has a genetic chain. And one atomic particle, and it can come from a brick, it can come from the ground, it can come from the sky, it can come from the sun. It doesn't have to be a uranium block, you know? One particle hits one gene chain in one cell, it breaks it in a certain way, and then that starts to divide uncontrollably, and you die of cancer. One atomic particle hits one microscopic chain in your body. Just standing next to a bus station, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be uranium or something like that. and then suddenly you've got cancer. That explains how you got the cancer. It doesn't explain why you got the cancer. And there's a big difference, you know? And you got to think about that. To practice the Lojong that we're going to talk about tonight, as a Buddhist, you have to give up thinking about how something happened. You have to figure out why it happened. Okay? And it's a big, you can never be happy. You can never reach paradise. You can never reach nirvana unless you make this distinction. How did this happen? Oh, this guy was talking to the boss. They went out to dinner. Now I remember, 2 days ago, you know, he must have said something to him, and that's why he's mad at me now. Okay, that's how it happened. But why? You see, why did they have dinner? Why didn't the dinner get canceled? And why did the guy want to say that? And where did this guy come from anyway? Okay, and that's what that's the real goal of Buddhism, is to figure that out. Okay, that's the big thing. So what are you supposed to do when somebody's talking behind your back? What are you supposed to do when something bad happens in your life? Okay, you have to figure out where it came from. Okay, not how it came about. You have to figure out why. Why me? Okay, you have to figure out that. It's this thing about this. You know the world emperors in the third chapter of the Abhidhamma Kosha? King of the world. President of the world. There used to be these beings on this planet and other planets. Because of the karma they collected, they get to be king of the world. And if you read the fine print, there's four different kinds. They're called wheel emperors because they have these little, some people say big spaceships or something that they can fly around in. And some of them have gold ones, some have silver, some have copper, some have bronze or something like that, okay? Or steel. And there's a very interesting distinction between them. If you have a gold chakra that's helping you to rule the world, a gold wheel, then everybody in the world wants you to be king of the world. They come and beg you to be king of the world. You know, Sky, please come and be king of the world. You know, we'll pay you anything you ask for. Just please become, just come and be our king of the world, okay? And then the guy with the silver circle, he has to go and kind of sell himself, you know? He's like, you think I could be king of the world, you know? And then the third guy, he has to like run in an election, you know? And he has to like convince everybody, and he has to push everybody. His karma is not as good, you know? And then the fourth guy actually has to threaten everybody. You know, he says, you make me king of the world or I'm blowing you up. You know what I mean? And there's a difference in the karma between each person. And I used to think at work, you know, like they'd be considering me for a new position or they'd be thinking to give me a raise or something like that. And sometimes it would be close, like maybe yes, maybe no. And then I'd feel like the guy with the copper wheel, you know. And then sometimes they'd say, oh, everybody wants him to have that position. Please, take it, you know, we'll double your salary. You know, and that's like a golden wheel, you see what I mean? And it depends on your karma. You see, some things are close, and some things are not close. You see what I mean? Some things you can get easy, and some things it's a really big sweat. You have to sweat about it. Maybe they're going to do it, maybe they're not going to do it. But where did that come from? You see what I mean? Why? Why does one guy get the gold wheel and one guy gets it? You see? And when something's bad, why did it happen in the first place? You see what I mean? And I wanted to talk about, I was thinking to put it in terms of, people were telling me they went to hear His Holiness speak, and there were demonstrators outside. And what do I think about it? You know, what side am I on? You know, I was thinking about it, you know, and I, you know, my official position up to now is, I think the whole thing is ridiculous and stupid and crazy, and American Buddhists shouldn't even get involved with it. It's silly, you know. It's about a Dharma protector whose essence is compassion. The ultimate protection is compassion. If there is a Dharma protector, their whole nature is compassion, which is loving other beings and giving them anything they want. And now people are fighting over this guy. They're fighting over a being, exist or not exist. I don't know. I never met this being, you know. But supposed to be the essence of compassion. So if you're on one side, you're fighting about compassion. If you're on the other side, you're fighting about compassion. So people ask me, what do you think about it? So now I'm going to tell you, okay? The time has come. All right? And it's from my heart. It's really from my heart. When I became a Buddhist, I went to see His Holiness. You know, I mean, I was studying in Dharamsala. My mother was dying of cancer. That's why I wanted to become a Buddhist. I want to know why. You know, I understand how. You know, the cells are dividing in her breast. I understand that. But why her? She never hurt anybody. You know, why?
So I go to Dharamsala, I study. And I keep getting these letters from my mother. Had my first checkup, didn't go too well, you know. And then I get another letter. Got really sick at school today. She was a teacher, school teacher, like fifth grade school teacher. Then I get another letter. Got really bad, blacked out in school today. They told me I had to quit, you know. Then I get another letter. Doctors say it's going to be difficult. I have to take extra radiation. Got another letter, said the doctor said, go home. No hope. Do whatever you want to do, you know. And people are starting to tell me, bring her to India, and the lamas can tell her how to die right, you know. And then at least she can die right, you know. And I said, she's never been outside of Phoenix, Arizona, you know. And they're saying, like, put her on a plane. She's going into seizures every 2 hours or something. Put her on a plane. Bring her to India. Let the lamas teach her how to die. So I said, I wrote her a letter. I said, if you want, come, you know. She said, what I got to lose, you know. So she came. So here I am, you know. I remember behind the customs thing, they would not let me in. She's like dragging herself down the thing, and she's like passing out, and they won't let me in to touch her, you know. And I just remember this thing, and take her up to Dharamsala in a cab, laying down, you know, and trying to keep her alive all the way up there, and then go up, and we get an audience with it. First we go to His Holiness's doctor, and he examines her, and he comes out, and he says, teach her about Buddhism real quick. It's like, teach her refuge, you know. He's like, here's some pills for the pain, you know. And then they say, go meet His Holiness, you know, try to get His Holiness to touch her at least, or something like that. So we had this incredible meeting with His Holiness, and you know, and I'm like asking him, what should I do with the rest of my life? I want to drop out of school and stay with you, you know. And he says, no, you have to go back to school, you have to finish school and take care of your mother, and go meet this Geshe Tarchin guy, you know, and everything will be all right, you know. So I'm like, I don't want to go back to the United States. He says, no, you got to go. So I came back, you know. So the reason I'm here is His Holiness, you know. The last person my mother hugged was His Holiness, you know. And the reason, everything comes from His Holiness. When I was becoming a Buddhist, he was like God, you know. Like when we saw him the first time in Washington, D.C., we were all like on the floor, and it was so, he touched somebody, and they're like, ooh, he touched you, you know, yeah, he touched me, you know. I remember he touched my hand, and I was like, oh man, you know, he touched my hand, you know, and it felt like something else, you know. And it was like that. That was my karma when I was 22 years old. Was that? That's how the world felt about the Dalai Lama, you know. Now what's my karma? I come back from retreat, you know. People tell me, I went to see His Holiness. I say, how was it? What did he teach? They say, I don't know, but there are these people outside yelling, you know, and they don't like him, and he's doing bad things, and there's all these horrible things going. I get phone calls from India. This is happening. This is happening. You know, and I'm like, they say, what do you think? What do you think? You know, what am I supposed to think? Is that this is what you're supposed to think, okay? I collected really bad karma with my lama, you know. I haven't been good enough to my lama. So I have to see this going on in the world that I didn't see going on 15 years ago, you know. Whose fault is it? Who's right? You see what I mean? Is it side A or side B? No, it's Michael Roach. Okay, and you have to think like that. Okay, that's correct view. Okay, who's right in the protector controversy? It's you who's wrong. No, you. Everyone in this room has collected the karma to see this holy being have someone dislike him and protest against him in America, in the United States of America. Not, you know, like in Lhasa or something. You know, we have the karma to see that. Who made that? You know, you studied Shantideva. Who made it? Whose fault is it? Who's right? Who's wrong? You know, we made it. You know, we weren't good enough to our lama, so we have to see this thing. That's all I think about the protector controversy, you know. I'm very sad I have to see it. So who's right and who's wrong? You're wrong. What made it happen? You weren't good enough to your lamas, you know. You didn't take care of your lamas. So you have to see this thing. How do you fix the protector controversy? Who will win? You know, whoever treats their lama right and treats the Dharma right, then you don't have to see that anymore. You know, someday you'll see in the newspaper, so-and-so went to Dharamsala and prostrated before His Holiness. His Holiness hugged them the whole thing's over. We hereby, it's canceled. You know, the Berlin Wall went down today. Why? You know, who did that? It was impossible when I was a kid. You know, it was impossible 6 months before it happened. You know, how do you get things to happen like that? What do you do if somebody is jealous of you and does something? See, it's not the question of do you shut up or do you say something? Do you fight back or do you not fight back? The question is, why did it happen in the first place? And how do you get rid of these things? You see what I mean? It's not a question of, are they right? Are you right? Don't think of things like that anymore. That person exists in your life because you were jealous of somebody else. Period. And that's the right thing to do. What? Stop being jealous. You don't like people attacking you? Keep your vows perfect. And according to every Buddhist book in the universe, you won't have to see these people anymore. It's not the question of what's the best way to get around this person. What's the best way to handle this person? Should I say this or should I say that? That's not the point. Keep your vows and these people won't exist anymore in your world. That's the whole point. You don't like this stuff? You don't like the protector problem? You don't like this person being jealous of you? Clean up your own act. Okay? That's the hard thing about Lojong. It's like the hardest thing they could have said, right? It'd be easier if they said anything else, right? That's the Lojong. So what are you supposed to do? Here's the hard part. Say Gyeongka, Rangki, Lembadang, Gyalka, Shenla, Bulwashok. Okay. Gyeongka means in a situation, the disadvantage or the loss, okay? It's like you're doing a business deal, like someone's going to come out ahead and somebody's going to come out behind. Gyeongka means to come out behind. Gyeongka means the loss or the disadvantage in a situation. Okay? Gyeongka. Rangi lemba means, Rangi means by me, by you. Lemba means take it yourself. Okay? So this line means take the loss yourself in any situation. In any unpleasant situation, in any kind of controversy, in any kind of competition, in any kind of problem between two human beings, you take the loss upon yourself. You decide, I will take the short end of the stick. And decide. You take the loss. Gyalka, the next verse, next line, Gyalka means the profit or the advantage in any situation. Gyalka. Means the profit or the advantage in any situation. Shenla means to other people. Bulwa doesn't just mean give it to me, them. It means with great respect and love and honor, offer it to them. Bulwa shok means may I have the strength to do that. Okay, shok means that. Okay. Anytime there's an interaction between two people, and you're on one side of it, give them all the profit, all the benefit. Let them come out ahead. Gyeongka Rangi Lemba. And take the short end of the stick and take the loss. Okay. Is it just? No, he just said Mirikpa. Somebody has accused you unjustly. With no justification, they have tried to hurt you. Why? Chakto. They're jealous of you. Well, what are you supposed to do about it? With great respect and love, offer them all the profit from the situation and take whatever loss there is yourself. Okay. And I get 20 minds in this room just said, oh, but people will take advantage of me. I'm tired of being this pushover Buddhist, you know? Everybody, my supervisor at work will be taking advantage of me every day now, you know? If I keep cleaning up the bathroom, people just make me clean up the kitchen too, you know? You know what I mean? If I keep doing all the, taking the dirty side of things, everybody will take advantage of me. Now get this, okay? You gotta get this. If there's a person in your life who would want to take advantage of you, that's because you didn't give people the advantage in the past. Get it? I'll repeat it. If there's a person in your life who wants to take advantage of you, or who's in a position to take advantage of you, or who's in any kind of position to hurt you at all, you made them because you hurt people in the past and you didn't give them the advantage in the past. So if you want to make sure that these kind of people keep showing up in your life, then struggle against them, fight against them, try to come up on top. Okay? And you will assure that these kind of people will keep showing up in your life. Okay? What's the best way to get rid of people who are exploiting you and taking advantage of you? Serve them. Give them what they want. Take the loss yourself. Okay? It's very difficult. It's the hardest thing I ever said in this class. And your mind will struggle against it. You'll find 10,000 reasons why he's wrong. You know, this is crazy. If the whole world was like this, all the Hitlers would be running the show. You know what I mean? I mean, your mind fights against it. Your mind doesn't want to accept that. Okay? If you don't accept it, you're not accepting karma and you're not a Buddhist. Okay? I'll say it again. If you had constantly offered other people the benefit of any deal or situation between you and someone else, there wouldn't exist in your life those people. If we had treated our lamas right, there wouldn't be any protector controversy for you to be on side A or side B. Okay? So the goal of life is to get rid of them. What? To get rid of side A and side B. So that it never happened. Okay? How do you do that? You keep your own vows clean. And you keep giving the advantage to other people. By the way, sooner or later you run out of people taking advantage of you. This is how you get rid of them permanently. What will happen then? People will be knocking your door down to give you money, property, fame, admiration, whatever you want. That's the only way to make it come. That is the source of money. Marx and Engels were wrong. Okay? They were wrong. It's not the earth. It's good karma. Okay? You want to get rich, famous, have people pay attention to you, get all the girls you ever wanted. Keep your vows perfect. Okay? I'm not kidding. Okay? I'm really not kidding. Keep your vows perfect. Everything you want will come. You don't win by struggling against other people, and you don't get everything by trying to push it and trying to trick them out of it or get them out of it or fight with them or struggle with them. You want things? Serve other people. Aside from being the right thing to do, it's the smart thing to do. Okay? And it works. It really does work. I'll point out something else. Whatever approach that you were taking up to now didn't work, did it? You're not rich, famous, admired, and have 50,000, whatever. Okay? You can keep trying that way, but it didn't work, did it? Admit it. Okay? It didn't work. You have big credit card bills. You know, some people like you, some people don't. Still people at work who scream at you. Whatever you're doing hasn't worked. Okay? Admit it. Okay? Try this way for a while. Try the Kadampa Geshe way. Okay? And just serve other people. They take advantage of you, God bless you. You know, thank you. All right. Here, would you like my overcoat also, now that you stole my wallet? You know? Okay. Okay. So three things to think about. First of all, you are a sworn bodhisattva. If you're in this class, half the people here, I know, I was there. You took bodhisattva vows. Okay? You know, you are sworn to make other people happy. You are sworn by your vow to be the servant of the people. You know, you said those words, you know. I give myself as a servant of all other living beings. I will give up all the happiness I have, and I'll offer it to anybody who needs it. Period. You swore. You can either, you know, send me a, what do they call it? You know, you can retract yourself or put up or shut up. You know, you said you would give other people your happiness. Well, let's see if you can do it. Okay? I mean, that's the first part of the rationale. Second part is, that's the only way to be happy yourself. You want to be happy? Whatever you're trying didn't work so far. You want all your relationships to be holy, sweet, permanent, fantastic relationships. You want to be well off financially or, you know, taken care of. You want to be physically healthy, well, take care of other people. It is the karma of doing that that makes you get that. Okay? That's That's what makes it happen. Okay. Now, one thing more to say. One thing more to say. Okay. If another person is taking advantage of you or another person in a way which would give them bad karma, if you see someone mugging another person on the street, as a bodhisattva, what are you supposed to do? And if someone comes and mugs you, okay, or if someone comes and lies about you or causes some kind of problem involving you, you are required as a bodhisattva to take whatever steps you can to keep them from collecting bad karma. Okay? You are required as a bodhisattva to go punch the guy who's mugging the lady. And that doesn't contradict what I said before at all. And you have to think about it, okay? So there's three levels here. You swore you'd take care of other people and give them all your happiness. Put up or shut up, okay? If you want to be happy yourself, that's the only way to do it anyway. So go do it and try it. Whatever you've been trying up to now didn't happen, didn't work. Last thing, that doesn't mean that if someone's hurting somebody, you don't go step in and do something, even if it means they're hurting you. Someone's doing something wrong. You stop them. Why? Not to make yourself happy, to help them not collect bad karma. You have that responsibility. So I don't mean that Buddha should roll over and let people stab you or something like that. You know, you have to try to stop them. Why? Mainly because they'll collect bad karma. Okay? And that, those are the three things about taking loss. Okay, but get used to it. Get used to it and try it. And do not believe your mind when it fights against it, and it will. You know, one quarter of the people in this room will actually go out in the next week and try this. And the first time they really do get the loss, they'll say, boy, that was silly. Forget that, you know. You know, you have to keep it up. You have to be persistent. And don't let that other side of your mind win, okay? And I curse you right now. I curse you with the knowledge that you have to do this. Sooner or later, everybody in this room has to reach the point where they can give up the dearest things to them on a moment's notice because it's the right thing to do. Okay? And it's hard. It's really hard. And it's beautiful and it's perfect and it's the road to happiness. Okay? Try. Okay, next one. And don't start diluting it. Okay? And don't start making conditions. Every situation, everything good that you have, you know, give it away. Okay? Even if they are being unjust and unreasonable and jealous of you, even if their motivations are crappy, you give them everything they want. Okay? Very hard to do. By the way, if we don't clean up our act with our lamas, if we continue on the course that created the controversy, we'll lose them, okay? His Holiness will get old and he won't be here or something, okay? You want to lose His Holiness, then don't change. You see what I mean? The only thing that could make His Holiness leave this world is if we don't treat our lamas right. You see what I mean? If you did treat your lamas right, he would live in your world forever. As long as you're here, he would be here. And if he's getting old, or if he's appearing to get old in your eyes, it's because you're not doing something right. And that's why people lose their lamas. Geshe Rabden, Lama Yeshe, like that. They didn't take care of them. They didn't have the right attitude towards them. And then they lose them. And we're like halfway with His Holiness. If something like that can happen in my world, it means I'm already going in a very dangerous direction. You know, all the signs are very bad and very wrong. And I have to change, or else it'll get worse. You see what I mean? If something like that can even happen in my universe, then the sign, if I continue like that into the future, it's very bad. Very bad things will happen. Much worse will happen. You know, he's getting old. Okay, say, Kanla, Daki, Pentakpe. Kangla Daki Pentakpe. Okay, you thought the last one was hard? Here's another. Okay. Kangla means to anybody at all. Daki means by me. Okay. By me. pen means help. Pen means help. To help you. Pen dakpa means that they will help you. Pen dokpa, pen dakpa, same thing. To help you. Whoever by me to help, what does it mean? Wait, let's see the next line. Say rewa, chewa, kashiki. Rewa means hopes, like you're hoping someone will help you. So far it means if I turn to another person with hope that they will help me. Okay, what kind of hope? Rewa chewa, big hopes, great hopes. Okay, I turn to another person with great hopes that they will help me. I'm really in a bind. I'm really down and out. There's something you can do for me that I need desperately. Okay? And I know you can do it. And finally I break down and ask you, please, you know, give me what I need. I know you can help me. I need it right now. Kashiki. Kashiki means, and they, okay? Kashiki means, and they, what? You know what's coming. Say Shinto. Shinto. In colloquial they say Shinto. Shinto. Okay, say Shinto. Mire. Neche naang. Shinto means really. Okay. Really. Okay. Somebody in the monastery does something to you, they say, Shinto meaning a la kapa sucha. You know, he really did me over, you know. Shinto. Mirik means very, very wrong. Unjustified, undeserved, or is anything undeserved? Anyway, unjustified, totally irrational, undeserved behavior. What? Nurche, they screw you. Okay? Nurche means to harm somebody. And it's exactly the word in English, screw, is very good. And my Lama told me not to use curse words in class, okay? But here the word means screw, okay? You go to somebody, you know, and you've got, oh, you're just hoping from the bottom of your heart, you know, please help me get this position, you know, please help me get this grant, you know, please help me get this money, please help me get this thing I need, you know. And 2 days later you find out that they totally, they went in and blew the whole thing purposely just to make sure you didn't get it, you know what I mean? Like they just turned around and did the complete opposite of what you asked them to do. And maybe they ended up with this money or this girl or this job or whatever 3 days later, you know. Not only they didn't put in a good word for you, they went in and put a really bad word and then got whatever it was themselves. You know what I mean? Like this is Shinto meeting Nichenan. Okay? So suppose you have a situation like that. You're hoping they'll give you some help. They turn around and screw you royally, Shinto. Okay? Royally. Say Shenyan, Tower, Tower, Short. Okay, Shenyan means holy spiritual guide, holy, sacred, wonderful spiritual friend. Okay. Normally it's reserved for your Lama, your root Lama, your Shenyan. Tambar means holy, highest, incredible. Okay. Tower Shok means look upon them that way. Realize and look upon them as your holy guru, as your holy lama. Okay? The next person who screws you royally, when you turn to them for help, and instead of just not helping you, they turn around and knife you in the back. Okay? Shenyan Dapa Tarsho, this is my holy lama. Oh, thank you. Okay? You taught me the essence of life, you know? And I used to say, you know, I spent 8 years at Rinpoche's side. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go to my mother's funeral. I didn't go to my brother's wedding. I didn't go to my brother's funeral. I stayed by his side for 8 years. I didn't move, you know. Then he said, time to go to work. And I'm like, what? He said, you got to go to New York. No, anything but that. You know, no, go to work and go to New York and go to work. I said, no, please, no, you know. And I resisted for 6 months, you know. And then one day he gave this very moving lecture at Rutgers University. And on the drive home, I said, I'll do anything you ever ask me to do. He says, go to work in New York. I said, no. And so I went to work in New York. And then I entered the Dharma Laboratory, you know, a New York City office, corporation, you know. And it was wonderful. And my mind opened like 10 times more than before. Here's everything, jealousy, desire, anger, competition, people screwing each other left and right, greed, you know, everything you could ever hope for is here in one convenient office, you know. And I got an education that I never got in 8 years of monastery, you know. In 6 months, I learned more. Seriously, I learned to deal with so many more emotions and mental afflictions than I ever could have learned at Rinpoche's side. And I went and thanked him, you know. Said, oh, thank you for sending me to stay with those people in that office, you know. It's an education you never gave me from the scriptures. You know, I never could have understood those things. And he's like, see, I told you to go to work in New York, you know. And that's the thing, you know. There's things you can learn from the bad people around you you could never learn from anybody else. And thank them. You know, what's the main lesson that they taught you? Rinpoche said, he used to always say, you don't like samsara? You don't like suffering? You know, then do something about it. You know, I mean, he's like, samsara or the suffering that we have in life is very kind to us because sooner or later it reveals its true nature. It strings you along for a while. Life is happy, life is cool, the big apple, everything opportunity. Maybe you can make it, you know. Maybe life can be all right. We just need a little more exercise, you know. And stuff like that, it strings you along and then suddenly it reveals its true nature, you know. You got cancer. Okay? You're fired. You know, I met another man. You know what I mean? Or something like that. You know what I mean? And in 5 minutes, the whole thing collapses. You know, he said the nice thing about samsara is that sooner or later, it must show its true colors. So here's this person coming to you, giving you a gentle or not so gentle reminder that this life is your fault. And here you've been trying to live with it. You've been trying to find something nice about it, and now it's screwing you. Thanks for reminding me, you know. And you have to thank them. You have to say, thank, you know, I forgot. I was hoping things would be all right. Now you showed me. I have to get out of this thing altogether. You know? By the way, is it going to another planet? No. Can you get out of it and still be in New York? Yes. Very delicate, okay? Nirvana is a mental condition. Okay, you can be in the same office, you can be around the same people, you can be working the same job, and you personally move into a state of nirvana in that office. By the way, that's how it has to happen, and it will happen. So if you ain't there yet, and if there exists a being in this life who could screw you, then thank them for reminding you that you ain't there yet. Okay, and as long as you keep meeting those people, it's just a barometer of your own state of your mind. You didn't get there yet. Thanks for reminding me. Okay? And see them that way. Honestly see them that way. If there still exists a person in New York City who can piss you off or screw you, that's your fault. You didn't get there yet. Okay? And if they weren't around to remind you, you'd take longer to figure it out. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay, you have to see it that way. It's true. It's the truth. I'm not saying, by the way, this Lojong stuff is not try to see it this way because you'll feel better. It's not that. This is the truth. You know, it's not like try to see them as your spiritual friend. They are your spiritual friend. Okay? Make the distinction. It's not like try to see this lousy situation in a good way. That's not the case. They really are this holy sweet Lama who's reminding you you're still stuck here and you better do something about it. Okay? It's not symbolic, it's literal. Okay? Alright, take a break and come back in about 10 minutes. Okay?
It'll be on June 6th. And it's going to be a nice class. It'll be at 6th Street Temple. That happens to be also Change Your Mind Day, where the Tricycle magazine sponsors a day of teachings in Central Park. And our monks and nuns and other people will be debating there as usual. So we kind of thought it'd be fun to take the kids up there and help us debate. So if anybody has children, we'll be meeting earlier in the day at 6th Street to prepare them, although they don't need much. And then they'll be coming up and joining us in the debate. So that will be the first kids' class. It's our secret weapon. So you know, if you have children and you're interested in the class, please, you want to raise your hand, talk to Cheryl. What time is the class supposed to be? Oh, no, it has to be. How about 11? How about 11 o'clock, okay? We'll meet at 11 o'clock at the 6th Street Temple. And then we'll mosey on up there, and I'll tell them we'll be there around 2 o'clock. How's that? So we have time for pizza.
Before.
Okay. There's a ceremony on June 8th in Howell. In the evening, is it? Probably 2 o'clock? 1? 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. That's a very holy day of the year, and there will be a ceremony of purification for all three sets of vows. Okay, if you have ordination vows, you'll be purifying. It's purifying them on that day. It's called sojo. And if you have bodhisattva vows and tantric vows, you'll be purifying them on that day. I asked Ken Rinpoche to clarify some questions about it yesterday. He said if you have not taken tantric initiation, you should not come. Okay, that even the bodhisattva vow part is in the context of a bodhisattva vow person who's taken tantric vows. So he said this time, he thought about it and he said, I don't think it's right for people to come if they only have bodhisattva vows. So only people with tantric vows should be attending. And then he turned around and said, everybody who has ever taken initiation from him better show up. Okay? And he was adamant about it. So it's a very holy day, and it's a very beautiful day to purify. And so try to make it. The footnote is that anyone who does come must have memorized the ritual. We're not allowed to take papers into sojo, as the monks and nuns can tell you who have been tortured by Rinpoche for years. So you have to memorize it. If you don't have it yet or you want to start working on it, I'm sure if you've done a good effort on it, it might be okay. So start working on it now. If you don't have it, talk to one of the monks and nuns and they'll give you a copy. But he does expect everyone there who's ever taken the initiations from him. Next verse, I'm not going to write it on the board. You have it in your book, and I want to, there's something very sexy in the last verse, so I kind of want to go quickly to the seventh one. Okay. Yeah, so we're on verse number 7 now. Okay, we did 5 and 6 so far today. We did 4 last week. Okay. If you'll find it in your book. I think it's page 4. I'll write it in pronunciation so you can all have that. Oh, one other note. People who want to do that ceremony and want a little bit of help with the words of the ceremony and how to pronounce them and how it's going to go and stuff like that, Robert Chilton is conducting an emergency catch-up class. Tomorrow at 8:15 at 6th Street, okay? So he's carefully prepped himself, and he'll go over all the wording of it and everything else you need to know about, if you have any questions about what you're saying or stuff like that. Okay, so that'll be at 8:15 after Venerable Thupten Khunzo's class, okay? Which is also a very cool class, which you should not miss. Okay. Okay, please repeat after me.
Dona.
Loda.
Yubayi. Dunyakun Sangwe Dala
Nemasho.
Okay.
Dona means in brief. Okay?
It comes from the word do, which means sutra. And sutra means a brief book. So Dona means in brief. He's gonna wrap up the first six verses. Okay? Then he says, Mudang Yupayi. Mu means directly. Dung means and. Yupayi means indirectly. Okay. So directly and indirectly. It means directly and in other ways.
Okay.
Pende means, pen means help. De means happiness. Pende means help and happiness. Manam is my mother's, referring to all other living creatures, my mother's. Kumlabu means give them everything. I'm sorry, give it to all of them. Give help and happiness to all of them, directly and indirectly. Give good things to other people, directly and indirectly. Dona, hey, that's the bottom line. Don't I mean? This is the bottom line. Everything good, give it to other people. Directly and indirectly. Then it says, Mainu means all the harms they do to you, all the harms that are done in the world by any living being. Dumyo means and all of their sufferings. Kun means all of those things. Everything they do wrong and all the suffering that's happening among other people. I'm going to skip the sangwe, okay? I'm going to skip the sangwe. Dana lemba shal means, I will take it upon myself. I will take it upon myself. Anytime someone's going to get hurt, anytime someone's going to hurt someone else, I want it to happen to me first. I'll take it myself. And sangwe means secretly. I won't brag about it. I don't care if nobody knows about it. I'm not going to advertise it. If somebody asks me, are you doing that? I'm going to say, huh? Me? No. But I'm, every chance I get to take the heat off somebody, every time there's a chance for me to take some problem away from somebody, I'll do it. And I'll do it in such a way that no one ever knows about it. I will take other people's sufferings away from them secretly. They won't even know I'm doing it. Every time I have a chance to intercept some kind of a problem and make it happen to me instead, I'll do it. They will maybe they'll never know. And that's the perfect way to do it. That's like, I read Ann Landis one day. She said that too. I swear to God. She said, do something good for somebody today and make sure they don't find out about it. That's a secret happiness. This is Diamond Lion is saying the same thing. Okay? Like, if you're aware that someone's got a problem, if you're aware something's gonna hit somebody, go and make sure never reaches them. You know, especially with somebody like him, let me tell you, or Lama Sun, there's a problem forming, he's gonna hear about it. Just intercept it. And take all the problem yourself, work hard, stay up, finish it, make sure they never hear about it. That's like perfect service of other people. Anytime they're going to have a problem or something, just quietly move in and take care of it. Even if you lose money or lose sleep or lose your anything, just move in there and take care of it. And who cares if no one ever hears about it? No kvetching about it. I love to do that. Oh, I donated all this money. They don't even appreciate me, you know. And none of that, okay? Just secretly. Just take care of it. They don't need to know. Nobody needs to know. Those are the sweetest virtues of all. Okay? Then, and then give them all your good things. And maybe they never know where it came from. I have this fantasy of bodhisattvas
breaking into people's houses and putting money in their wallets and sneaking out at night, you know, and stuff like that, you know. Like, just do things for other people, give them things, take care of things, take care of them. In programming, they call it transparently. You know, the user never knows that the programmer took care of all this stuff. It just works, you know. And do all these sweet benefits and do all these sweet things for other people, and just do it anonymously. And if they never know, fine. You know, one less problem got to them. One more sweet thing happened to them. And you're at the bottom of it, but nobody knows. Okay? And it's the sweetest kinds of virtues. Those aren't look. Give by ye means, if you can't do it directly, then do it indirectly by doing the practice of dole. That's a reference to dole. Okay? It's a special meditation where you visualize all of the problems that are happening someplace where you can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's problems happening in, you know, some part of the world. You can't get there. You don't have the resources to help these people. Then you visualize yourself taking all of those problems in during your meditation, in your breath. And then you destroy them. You put a special bright light in your heart, and you bring all those hassles of other people, and you breathe them in your nose, and you bring them down here. And it's very important. In one breath, you blow them out, and you destroy them. And you practice fantasizing about being able to destroy all the troubles of the world, taking all the troubles of the world upon you, especially when you're sick or having trouble, and especially at the moment of your death. Is the most powerful one, okay? At the moment of your death, you say, I'm going to die in the next 5 minutes. Let all the troubles of everybody who lives come into me, and I'm going to destroy them. You know, my death will destroy them, something like that. And this is a very powerful dole that's taught in the scriptures. Okay? So you can do it every morning, quietly, secretly, in your own room. Just practice taking in all their problems, goes into your heart, and you blow it out. You destroy it with this light in your heart, and it's just gone, and they don't have it anymore. And then you practice doing the opposite. I like this one, it's really cool. It's called Mr. Tola Tola. And you practice that when your breath goes out, it's this beautiful white light, like honey, and it's going out and it's spreading in the world, and everybody who walks through that breath, or everybody who gets touched by an atom of that breath, on that atom of your breath exists everything they ever wished for. Okay? So imagine that atoms from your breath are floating around New York City. Like, you breathed, I don't know how many thousand times today. A lot of atoms came and went. Okay? Each one of them is stacked with cars, houses, raises, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends, dogs, cats, anything anybody wants. And it's just floating around the city. People are breathing it in. People are getting, you know, suddenly they got a raise. They don't know what happened. Suddenly they met the boy that breathes, you know. They don't know that you did it. You know, and this is this fantasy thing where you create everything that anybody would ever wish for. And you have to study that meditation. There's a separate course for that. There's a supplementary course for that. And you can study it sometimes. Very holy. But that's what it means when the text says, directly and indirectly. Directly, take care of people quietly, efficiently, secretly. Indirectly, you know, visualize that you can do more. You know, fantasize about doing more. And then, what's it mean? Indirectly means someday, that kind of thinking, that thinking pattern, will make it actually happen, and you'll be able to do it directly. You'll become an enlightened being, and then you'll be able to do all those things. So that's the exercise. That's what he means by indirectly. Okay, we're on to the last verse. I'm not going to write the Tibetan because you have it on page 5. I'll write the pronunciation. They got Kunjan, Chigeki, Topetime, Mabakpa,
chunam gima shepa yi shembe chingwa
lego shop. By the way, you'll see it spelled slightly differently in different texts. These lojongs were not written down in the beginning, and they were passed from person to person. So if you get five manuscripts, they're slightly different. I'm just warning you in case you see it in other versions. I've checked like five of them, and they're all meaning the same thing. There's a slight difference. Dedag means those, and it means all those holding practices that I just talked about tonight. All of that stuff that I talked about doing, all that impossible stuff that now you know you have to do it sooner or later. By the way, you might as well just roll over now and do it, okay? Sooner or later you're going to have to do it. You can't get to Nirvana unless you do it. You can resist. Wait, you can run, but you can't hide. Sooner or later you've got to do it, okay? You might as well start now. Just give up. Just do it, okay? Whatever you're doing up to now didn't work. You're proof of that. Your life is proof of that. So try this for a while, see if anything changes. What can you lose? Right? A lot of money. But anyway, Dedak means all these behaviors that he's been talking about. These crazy Buddhist behaviors, which are beautiful, holy, and the right thing to do.
Kunkyang, all of these. Chege means the eight thoughts. I translated it as eight ideas of things.
Now, in the commentaries, it's very beautiful because there's two different sets of eight. Some people say this is the eight worldly thoughts. Some people say it's the eight ways of seeing things as self-existent. And I think they're both beautiful. So that's why I was trying to time it so you could get both of them tonight. And so we're gonna go over the eight worldly thoughts, which is one way to explain it. This is the way that Chikawa explained it, for example, about 900 years ago. And then we're going to see, like, the first Chöngen Rinpoche from the 1700s. He's going to explain it totally different way. And both of them are right. And I think they're both sexy. So here we go. Say, Jikten, Chöge. Jikten, Chöge. By the way, before I explain that, I want to say one more thing about the verse that came before about taking the loss yourself. There's a homework question I didn't cover, okay? It says, what did the first Chöngen Rinpoche have to say about how we should take the loss ourselves? And he made a big deal about it. He made a big deal in his commentary about two things. He says, you've got to have two things going on in your mind when you let yourself get the short end of the stick in your office tomorrow morning. Okay? For me, it's going to be tomorrow afternoon. Okay? And Dean didn't go in there and they sucked me down. Okay. First of all, enjoy it. Have a good time. Okay? Realize that this is going to get you liberated, Buddha paradise, nirvana, totally whole, purely pure dharma, being of light, and say, wow, great, here, I'll take it. Be happy about it, okay? Any kind of hesitation is very bad. Okay? And the second part is, don't have any regrets about it now, or a year from now, or 5 years from now. Okay? No regrets. Okay? It's very important when you do a difficult virtue, like giving someone else the position that you really want, that you do not feel regret later. Okay? You must never regret doing something, even if it was hard for you. Be proud of yourself. Okay? And every time your mind says, I don't know if you did the right thing, say, shut up. You did do the right thing for once, stupid. Don't regret it later. If you want to destroy that good karma, regret it. You'll lose the job and you'll lose the virtue. Okay? So don't blow it. Okay, never regret it. Once you give something away, once you give another person the... You might have to report to this person for the next 5 minutes. It's happened to me, okay? Fine. Never regret it. Okay? Then the virtue gets bigger and bigger. Okay? And do it joyfully. Don't say, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll wash the bathroom. Yeah. What are you stopping? Okay. Don't make a big face. I mean, look, you're going to have to wash the bathroom anyway. You might as well be happy about it. When you take the loss yourself, do it with joy.
It'll help the other person a lot. Okay, Jigten Chögyal. Jigten means worldly, non-nirvana, okay, non-enlightened. Chögyal means dharma, but here it just means thoughts. Okay, people have translated this as the eight worldly dharmas, and then they went on to describe these eight horrible thoughts. And I always thought it was weird they would call them dharma. The word is dharma, but here it means thoughts. Okay, Jigten means eight different worldly thoughts. And Diamond Lion is saying, look, you go do these powerful virtues, don't mess them up with eight thoughts. Bakpa means polluted, or stink them up. Bakpa means don't stink them up with the wrong thoughts. You know, while you're doing these difficult spiritual practices like making sure somebody else in your office gets the promotion you wanted, don't blow it later by having these eight stinky thoughts. So bakla means like you take a pure glass of water and throw vomit into it or something. Okay, it's a very bad word in Tibetan. Bakla means polluted or corrupted or like that. So do your seven verses that came before and never have the following eight thoughts. Okay, here they are. Say Nyeko.
Juna.
Ga. Nyeko. Juna, Ga. Nyeko has a lot of different meanings. In this case, it means something that you got. You know, like money or a position or a car or a girlfriend or something that you obtained. Nyeko. Juna means if you get it, Ga, to be happy. Okay? So the first worldly thought is when you get something, you get all excited and you get all happy. That's the first world of thought. This line has caused all these guilt complexes among the Judeo-Christian Westerners like me, who, you know, have this inability to be happy when the time is right to be happy. You know? Okay, so you just succeeded in teaching a great class at the Quaker House. Don't be happy. Don't be happy. It's wrong. You know what I mean? Of course it's not meaning that. Okay? Of course it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean like, don't enjoy ice cream. Or don't enjoy a good movie or something like that. Don't listen to music, you might like it. You know, it doesn't mean that. Nyekajunaga means this unreasonable, stupid happiness that gets all high, that's gonna fall down in 24 hours. You know, it's like kids who are eating candy and then you know they're gonna be crying in half an hour. You know what I mean? It's like this unreasonable up about, oh, you know, everything's going, oh, I'm so excited, I met this guy in the coffee shop, oh, everything is perfect now, you know, and your mind goes too high, you know, and it's just going to fall down. It's like to be too excited about something that doesn't deserve it. Normal, good things, and samsara are all going to collapse shortly. Don't get your mind all excited about it, because you're just going to be disappointed later. Nekajunaga, you can have dharma happiness. Hey, look at that. The laws of karma have been satisfied. I was good to somebody, and I got some money back. Great. Karma is wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Karma. That's intelligent Buddhist rejoicing. Okay, that is fine. Don't think you shouldn't do that. That's wonderful. That's very smart. Because it'll... What's that Pavlov thing? You know, it'll encourage you to keep doing it. Hey, this stuff really works. Right? Hey, this really works. You know, I've been good. I kept my vows for, you know, like 3 months and everything's straightening out my life. That's wonderful. That's fine. You're supposed to think like that. This is talking about, you know, get all excited about some worldly thing that's going to collapse in a week anyway. And you know that. Okay? Number two. Say, Majuna, Niga. Majuna, Niga. Majuna means if you don't get what you're hoping to get, then Majuna means if you don't get something that you're hoping to get, Niga means to get all upset about it. That's the second worldly thought. And he's saying, when you do those first seven verses, don't let your mind be poisoned by this eighth thought. This one is, oh,
I didn't get what I wanted. There was this lady who came to Temple Bhutan and said, I'm taking my, I haven't been to temple for my whole life, but I want to come to a class and go into temple and disappear. And Rinpoche said, why did you just decide to come to temple and come to class and go into the temple and disappear? And she said, well, I'm doing my driver's license test tomorrow, and I want to pass. So I'm coming into the temple to pray. And by the way, if I don't pass, then I'm not going to ever come to the temple again. So, you know, Rinpoche's like, threw her out, okay? The point is this, I mean, you're trying to practice, and things don't go so good, okay? Some things will screw up. Okay? If you're doing good practice, you can make the Diamond Karma Sutra says, the Buddha said, if you're doing really good practice, your bad karma will ripen quickly and finish. So you'll have some disasters will happen. Okay? Some things won't go well. And by the way, you're just kidding yourself anyway because you didn't do that much virtue that you cleaned out all your bad karma. Of course you still have a lot of bad karma. And of course, even if you make some wimpy attempt to practice the Dharma for a few weeks, you still have a few million years of bad karma left. Okay? So don't be shocked when something happens, you know? And don't quit Dharma and say, oh, this doesn't work, or get all upset about it. But over a steady, extended, sustained Dharma practice, keeping your book and your vows, your life will absolutely transform. And every event and an object in your life will change into some holy, sacred thing. And you can watch it happen, and you can bet on it. In the meantime, occasional bad things will happen. And expect it, and don't get all depressed about it. That's a worldly thought. Even as you practice Dharma, you know, you finally can say, okay, I'm going to be honest today at work for the first time because of that inspiring lecture last night, you know. So you go and you tell your boss what you really think. And he kicks you out or he yells at you and you get in trouble. You know, and you go back to your chair, you know, and you're sitting there, gee, you know, I don't know if it's so good to tell the truth and all that stuff, you know. Don't doubt yourself and don't get upset about it. Truth is extremely powerful, you know. Always stick with the truth. And then there'll be like hitches, you know, due to your past bad karma. But in the end, truth always creates wonderful, beautiful things. So just stick to it. Okay? That's the point. Number three. So far we have being happy in a stupid way when you get something, and being unhappy when you lose something. Rinpoche is always watching New York Mets on TV, and some guy will hit a home run, and he says, watch the Jiten Chugi on this guy's face as he rounds third base, you know, this guy, you know, like that. And then he says, watch the Jiten Chugi, the eight worldly thoughts, on his face the next inning when he drops the fly ball, you know, and I'm waiting, you know, and the guy's like, and he misses the ball, and all the fans are like, ooh, and he's going, and then, you know, and he's always like saying, there's the eight worldly thoughts. There's the eight worldly thoughts. He loves to do that. Say Dewa, China, Ka. Dewa, China, Ga. Bijuna, Niga. Bachuna, Niga. Dewa means you feel good. Dewa means you feel good. Jinna da means you get all happy when you're feeling well. Especially physically. Like, you know, you had a good lunch, and you had a Michael Jordan's milkshake, and one of those no sugar brownies, and the whole world is wonderful. And then suddenly you get a headache. Or suddenly you get a cold. And then suddenly the world is horrible. You know, everything's bad. So he's saying number three is to get all happy when you're feeling good physically. You know, oh, everything's wonderful. And then you get a little headache or something goes a little bit wrong. Or you feel upset stomach. And suddenly you're grumpy to everybody. you're saying bad things to everybody. They can tell something's, your back is hurting you again. Because you're being nasty to everybody again. A true Dharma person, the way you relate to other persons must become independent of how you feel physically. Okay? I mean, you have to be able to overcome that. Whether you feel really good physically or whether you're in pain physically, you have to have joy and love for other people. It cannot change just because you had a bad luck. Okay? Can't change. That's what he's saying. When you take that loss yourself and you don't have a coat and it starts to get cold, you know, don't get grumpy and start acting different. Okay? You have to act the same. Whether you feel healthy or not, whether you have a headache or not, whether you feel tired or not, whether you feel cold or hungry or not, you still have to do the right thing as a Buddha. Okay? You still have to be compassionate to other people. You still have to worry more about other people. Okay? That's 3 and 4. By the way, it's not cause and effect, right? You're not cold because you gave off the seat to that other person. You're not hungry because you gave away your last notion to ground. Okay? All you're doing is creating more in the future. Okay. What number are we at? 5 or 6. So, Nyanga, Chuna, Da, Ma Chuna, Riga. Nyandak means you get famous or well known. People start talking about you. You get on the radar. Dunaga, you get all excited about it. Oh, I was in Time Magazine. A lot of people come to my class. I walk down the street. They recognize you. Okay? And you get all like happy about it. And then Madhuna Miga. Nobody knows you. Nobody cares. And then you're all upset about it. And you get worried about it. This is a cool thing. You know, Satipanika. You're going to study, those of you who are coming to Friday night class and you're studying that Sakya Bojo, there's a very powerful commentary by the Satipanika, and I'm feeding it to you, okay? And this is this extraordinary holy lama who memorized the 8,000 verses of Prajaparamita in Sanskrit and used to go around reciting it for fun. You know, he became the greatest lama in Tibet at that time, 1200s, throughout the country, known from one side to the other side. Couldn't get down the street without somebody stopping him and asking him to teach something. And then they asked some lama, you know, why is he so famous? You know, why has his name gone all the way to the border of China? The whole Tibetan world knows this guy. What was it that he did, you know? And this guy has like some kind of clairvoyance, you know. He checks and he says, you know why? Because his lama had diarrhea one day. And he went in and cleaned it up with his hands, with his own hands, and he thought, this is the sweetest nectar I ever saw. You know? And that's why he's so famous. See, I mean, the real cause and effect of things is very weird. You know? Why is Madonna famous? Why? You know, why are famous people that seem to have no, you know, I mean, I'm not saying her. I don't know. But I'm saying, why does it seem like some people have no particular good quality are like famous and rich, you know, and then some other people who seem to be very pure and noble and everything, they just, nobody heard about them, nobody care less about them, and they die in obscurity court. You know, why is it? It has nothing to do with their current situation. It has everything to do with what they did in the past. And you get exactly what you deserve. You know, karma is merciless and infallible. Karma never moves an inch. Nothing ever happens to you that you did not design yourself. So don't get too happy about it or too sad about it. Just be pure from now on. That's all you can do. You know, just take care of everything from now on. Don't worry about the karma that you run the past. You're going to get good things come, and they're always going to screw up to something else, and just when you think it's the worst thing of all, there'll be this check in the mail from Uncle so-and-so that you never met. You know, and That's the way it'll go. In every single situation involving another person, do the right thing dharmically and don't worry what happens. Because they cannot have a bad result. Everything will be perfect. You just have to keep doing it. Majuna Migami is same thing, right? Don't get famous and you're unhappy. Okay, 7 and 8. Still, well, we could just come in and turn the clock back. Did you think of it?
No.
We'll take care of that. Say, Dora?
Chuna?
Ga. Ma Chuna? Vida. Dora? Chuna? Ga. Ma Chuna? Vida. Dora means somebody praises you. Oh, you did such a wonderful job. You're so smart. So clever. You did that so well. And then Ga, you get all excited. You go to work and the boss says, great job on that account. Then you know what happens the next day. You go in and you're the same person, right? You didn't change since yesterday. Suddenly you're the biggest idiot in the company. I can't believe you didn't do that. I just can't believe it. And it used to amaze me because the most lavish praise I ever got in my company was for things I had nothing to do. Like they would call you into their office and you'd be like shaking, and they'd say, great job on that JCPenney account. You're like, I wasn't even here that day, but you're like, thank you, sir, And then the next day you're in there and they're screaming at you for something you didn't do either. You're like, what goes on? What makes these things happen? You have to understand the emptiness, right? You have to see, don't get all excited because they said something good. Don't get all depressed because they said something bad. Just keep your vows pure. Just follow those lojo. And everything will be happy in the future. Everything will be pure and wonderful in the future. It's obvious from the praise you get and the yelling you get at work that it's all random. Right? It's obvious, right? It's obvious that it has nothing to do with your current behavior. Right? It's obvious it's coming from some former thing. That you have no control of right now. So don't get so excited about it. Don't be too depressed about it. Do the right thing from now on. In every situation, good or bad, negative, positive, they're praising you, they're not praising you, you're sick, you're not sick. You're getting things, you're not getting things. People talking about you or they're not talking about you. Forget it. It's out of your control. It's past. That karma was collected a long time ago. Now respond with a pure Dharma Lojo Mai. Every activity you do, every response now is total truth, purity, everything pure, your mind and your activities and your speech, it's just everything is true. And then the future will take care of itself. Don't confuse the crap from the past, which you can't do anything about, with creating a Buddha paradise in the future. Because you have that option now. And that's what Lojong is all about. That's not how you have to live from now on. Forget the last 1.5 questions on your homework, okay? And we'll cover them at the beginning of Thursday. So don't worry about the second set of 8, and don't worry about the last question. They both are talking about the emptiness of the situation. They are both talking about now it's time to see the emptiness of this situation and do the right thing from now on. But you must understand the emptiness now. Don't be stupid anymore. And that's too long a subject to cover in 1.5 minutes. We'll do a short term, and please try to leave as quickly as possible, because otherwise they'll throw us out.